It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
But what do you do with that? How do you play off Italian stallion? You're not putting horse meat on it, are you?
Horse meat.
There you go. A stallion. What?
Okay.
I said you're not doing that.
That's right.
To be clear. I did not encourage putting horse meat on this hot dog.
Hold on. Here's my hottest take of all time. No one's going to complain about the sun at night.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Another nice day on the way today. They're all nice days.
There's just no such thing as a bad weather day at this point.
High of 74, looking like mid-70s, 60s tomorrow, 70s again.
I mean, I did mulch yesterday. That's how nice the weather is.
Do you mulch? You mulch this time of year?
No, but we had our front lawn torn up because of sewage line repairs, and there was a giant hole in the ground, so we had to rebuild the garden a little bit.
All right.
So no, I don't think most people would mulch in October.
Yard work, though. Hey, by the way, happy October. October 1st.
Yes.
Best month?
Let's go. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Top three.
Is it even debatable that October is the best month?
What are the candidates? June?
June is good.
May is good. October, you've got the NFL, baseball playoffs, NBA and NHL. Well, NHL definitely gets started.
NBA, I think, gets started in October.
A little bit mid-October, mid-late October. College football rolling.
December, though?
Yeah,
the holidays.
Can't be December.
It can't be December.
Really? October's got redeemable weather. December's, bad.
Yeah, I like the winter months, but
I like daylight, too.
Oh, that's true.
We do daylight.
Daylight.
I mean, and as it's dark out right
isn't
now.
Isn't December,
in the middle of the night.
By the way, October 22nd, the NBA season, so you do get that, too.
Okay, good.
Isn't December, the winter month that might even be the worst for weather? Because is it even really snowing yet? All the time? Is it more just that gross slop on the side of the road and it's always 38 and little rainy drizzle, like it's not even really snowing? Do I have that wrong? That's how I have it in my
Maybe.
Head.
I think of that as March, but you might be right.
The December's kind of turned into a wannabe March.
Yeah.
Maybe. Could it be March?
October's can't be March.
March Madness? You got St. Paddy's Day?
March has the most trash weather of any month. The worst. Can't be March. Spring stinks. Fall's great. Spring stinks.
Because October is probably one of the best weather months. And I think. I would feel comfortable saying that. You have all the sports going on.
Yep.
You've got, if you're into your pumpkin spice lattes and whatnot, the whole pumpkin vibe of the month. Halloween later on. This is a better month for decorations. I like Halloween decorations more than Christmas decorations.
November. You like Halloween more than Christmas.
I don't want to say that. I think I like the Halloween
decorations.
Decorations. Christmas, I feel like we're in a box. It's like the same five decorations. Whereas Halloween, I passed a house yesterday while walking the dog where there is it's a stand in the person's front yard and it's a clown. It's like an evil-looking clown that's with an ice cream cone or something. It's like an ice cream stand.
Yeah, you can just do that to your lawn for Halloween.
It could be anything as long as it's kind of creepy. Christmas, it's candy canes, Santa Claus, Christmas tree.
You know what?
Bam.
I'm putting in the front yard of my house for Halloween this year. It's going to be a display replaying the Bills trick play from Sunday night. People will walk by. What is that?
Actually, wouldn't that be pretty good if you got blown up screenshots of the worst plays in franchise history?
Yes. Here's McKelvin fumbling against
the Patriots.
McKelvin
fumbling against the Patriots. Here's pre-snap 13 seconds against the Chiefs. The Norwood kick and Joe Brady's call on Sunday.
Yeah.
Those. Yep.
That's the most terrifying front yard.
Put
them
up in the front lawn.
Is that the Mount Rushmore of bad plays?
I don't think Sunday's quite Mount Rushmore.
Well, I also think
listed four.
I also don't think.
Yeah, it was
Norwood's
first on the brain.
Is not a bad play. That's just a play that didn't go your way. I mean, he tried to kick and he missed. Kickers miss kicks. Versus a bad play is what on earth are you doing?
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
There's heartbreaking plays, and then there's scary plays.
Right.
Like when...
Right, because 13 seconds is what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, which is what Sunday
How
is.
Could this have happened?
Yeah, what's another one where you're just screaming at the television? What on earth are you... I mean...
The butt fumble.
The butt fumble
is one.
Yeah.
And the Bills don't have a butt fumble, but the Losman fumble in New York where they scooped and scored it when all they had to do run out the clock, that's up there.
Yeah. There is a very, like, under-the-radar play, which is, like, a finale that didn't matter against the Jets, where the Bills' kick returners just stared at a ball, like, in the end zone.
Was it Mike Gillisley?
Mike Gillisley. Yeah. Just let the Jets recover it.
What are the Bills doing?
The announcer.
Yep.
Allen in the playoff game against Houston lateraling the ball to Dawson Knox in the moment felt like that, but that's not quite like a... Do we have any Will Levis plays in our history? More like not even the play design, just like the quarterback or somebody on the team just deciding to do something outrageous. Someone running out of bounds on fourth down. Did Bledsoe do that? Did Bledsoe and Edwards do that, actually?
I think yes.
Okay. Maybe those would qualify a little bit for this as well.
Yeah.
Maybe Sunday is on the Mount Rushmore for that. Like, what on earth are you doing?
So Joe Brady showed accountability for that play, right? We heard that's what I read, because he said it was a bad call.
I guess he also didn't blame his players, which, I mean, you could have. Doug Peterson did that, I guess.
That's right. He said execution is the problem, not play calling.
Yeah. So
he was defending his offensive coordinator, Press Taylor.
Yeah. So Brady could have done that, but he did not. I guess.
Wouldn't accountability on that? I'm not. Whatever. I need to like rake Joe Brady over the coals. He made a bad call, but. Wouldn't he say, I thought it was a good call? Instead of just saying, like, yes, it was a bad call. His quote about it is that he needs more of a feel in that moment. Like, okay, but in that moment, what you felt was, you should do this. It's how is it that much different than Sean McDermott deciding, now is the time to punt. That's what I think is the right play here. I mean, Joe Brady... That call didn't sneak up on him. They would have practiced it. They would have.
Oh, yeah. He also didn't take accountability for the play being bad, by the way. He took accountability for the timing of the play being bad.
It is not.
The play call itself.
It is not his fault the play blew up the way that it did. It was executed poorly. In theory, Curtis Samuel's not going to get destroyed with a guy in his face right away. Allen's not going to get stripped and blasted. Like, so the execution of the play doesn't look anything like it went. But we're all mad about why would you even call it? Or how could that even have a place in that, you would say, in that moment, whatever you want to say. Trick plays, when they go sideways, look pretty darn stupid. Whereas if you just drop back and throw an incompletion and Allen gets blasted, actually then you'd get a roughing the passer call, but you don't in this situation.
Because he's out of the pocket?
Well, because he's not even once you receive a pitch, you are a runner.
Okay.
So that eliminates a roughing the passer call on that play.
Right.
From what I understand. Anyway, because he got blasted. I just think it's kind of interesting that, he said it was a bad call. All right, but why did you think it was good?
I want to know what we still don't know what the right execution looks like for that
play. It looks like him heaving it to the end zone to Mac Hollins. There's no doubt that's got to be it.
It's not there. Well, like, good luck.
Sure, sometimes you call a pass and it's covered. But you're trying something.
If
that falls as an incomplete pass, we're not mad about it.
And
all right, you know, fine.
I do understand why and maybe you even would talk with McDermott in this way or talk with whoever, Allen, and think that, okay, the timing is really the problem there. I don't care about the timing personally. If they had called, I would not have minded a trick play there. If you told me in that situation right before the snap, hey, they're going to run a trick play here, I'd be like, oh, okay, fine, cool. That they have not run one in a while. Trick plays do work a good amount of the time.
Detroit hit one last night.
Detroit hit a hook and ladder, right?
They hit the Philly special. No, Seattle hit hook and ladder, and Detroit hit the Philly special.
Right. Detroit hit a hook and ladder last week.
Yes.
And then
Seattle did it
back to them. I am, by the way, here for more hook and ladders in the NFL. It feels like this should be happening more often.
I agree.
They work like every time.
Yeah. It's hard to defend.
Yeah. I personally, I bet I'm in the minority here on this. I personally do not mind at all they called the trick play in that exact situation. I just think the play stunk.
Yeah.
The play itself stinks. He's talking like they're going to call it again sometime later in the season. I would bury that play in their backyard. Just do not ever try a different one. That is not, I don't know that that play is ever going to be executed the way they think.
Here's one of Brady's quotes on this. Not just a bad play call because of the result of the play. But I try to pride myself on the feel, the flow of the game. Even if we're able to get that off, and even if we're able to do anything with it, it wasn't the right timing for the play. I got to have a better feel and understanding. It's kind of an odd thing to say. Even if it worked, it was wrong. That's McDermott saying that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong call there. You've got to know that's the wrong call. Even if it worked, it's not the right timing.
I'd like to know when they think the right timing is for a trick play.
Up 60, that might be the only spot McDermott is comfortable for that. Like I said, I don't know how long we want to go in on this play, but Brady's comments yesterday struck me as a guy that was told by his boss, like, don't do that again. That was a horrible play. He says, yeah, you're right. That was a horrible idea. The timing of it was terrible. Yeah, you're right. The timing of it was terrible. Even if it had worked. Even if it had worked. Yeah. Why would you say even if it worked, it was bad?
Hey,
it didn't work
strange.
Out. My bad. My mistake. Like, it's a strange thing to say. But here we are.
Am I right thinking, like, when Dable would run trick plays, that it would often be, like, right away? Like the Houston playoff game, it is opening drive.
First halves, sure.
I just looked up the Cowboys game where John Brown threw a touchdown to Devin Singletary. They were up 13-7 in the second quarter.
Okay. We know the Texans playoff game throwback to Allen is the opening drive.
I think the Cardinal one was an opening drive. Like how often did they...
I don't know the Cardinal one.
The Cardinal one is, I think, McKenzie throwing it to Allen in the end zone. Allen's got a couple. I think the only one I can remember being like in the second half is the one we talked about yesterday that didn't work against Pittsburgh.
Wouldn't you say, without even like looking at a study of when trick plays are run, wouldn't you say they're most likely to be, I mean, the Eagles did it in the Super Bowl for the game-winning score, so that's, you know, that's one thing.
But yeah.
Down 10 versus up 10, don't you feel like you see a lot more when you're up 10? Down 7 versus up 7.
Yeah, right?
Here are the Lions. The Lions throwback happens. They're up 7.
In the third quarter.
In the third quarter on second and goal. The Bills are already in real trouble in this game and trying to find a way back in and having success.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It feels like it's a, we're up, we're going to get a little, we know you might be desperate and overchase something, so we're going to try and do a little trickeration on you here.
Rather than we're desperate, we're having trouble doing things, and you might be more on alert for other guys, look out, they could try anything here because nothing's working for them, right? Like, expect something different. Yeah, I might agree. I might think that makes sense, and that... Again, like just looking up a couple of plays that usually seems to be like how the Bills had done it in the past and how maybe a lot of teams do it. Were the Eagles up when they did the Philly special?
It was tied in the Super Bowl.
Do you remember they also...
Actually, I should check. Were they down by... It was a go-ahead touchdown in the Super Bowl is all I know.
Okay.
The Philly special was the go-ahead touchdown. There's a trophy to celebrate it. It was an incredible call. Again, that's also... Red zone call. How many things can go wrong? I wonder, like, the down and distance.
Yeah. Did you know that in that exact same game, by the way, the Patriots also ran a trick play of their own to Tom Brady, who dropped a wide open pass?
I do remember that.
You remember that?
I do.
So they might have done that even immediately after.
Is throwing to Tom Brady a good idea?
In the Super Bowl or just in general?
Yeah, just in general. I mean,
they did that before, I guess, the Philly special. Probably a bad idea to throw it to, how old would he have been at that point? Even 40?
36.
36. Yeah, probably not the smartest idea. Especially if they're going to, I mean, if you are kind of exposing your quarterback a little bit more, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even just, I mean, Allen got lit up, of course, on the play on Sunday, but having your quarterback go run a route usually would expose him a little bit to, hey, safety saw it coming, and now he blows up your quarterback. Probably not the thing you'd want to put him in harm's way with. Trick plays.
Yeah. Trick plays. There's a lot, you know, then there's whatever. Lots of tricks. Everybody's trying to trick everybody. Play action is this, and
I again just don't
motion
know.
And wheel routes, and not like a wheel route is a trick play, but just everybody's. You're always trying to do something that they're not expecting. Kyle Van Noy though, was on Pat McAfee talking about this play, and he said he felt insulted.
Kyle Van Noy said that.
Said he felt insulted, like they were insulting the Ravens football IQ. He's like, we see Josh Allen lined up over there. We think, hey, look, what do you think? You're going to get one by us here?
Yeah.
We It's not like you can change their uniforms. This isn't Scooby-Doo where somebody else has a mask on and like, oh, turns out that's Josh Allen. That's not, you know, some receiver that's not going to throw the ball.
Yeah, he said, I almost felt disrespected. They were trying my IQ.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we won't see any more of those. I think that's fair. That's one thing that you probably will not have to worry about the Bills running that again. If you're looking at the Ravens loss and thinking, all right, what's real and what's not really worth focusing on? My guess is the trick play is probably, even though we spent, you know, 15 minutes here on it, it's not something we have to talk about as, are you concerned Brady's going to call another head scratcher? not really.
No.
That's not a major concern, I don't think. In the moment, it stunk. The next day, it stunk. He says it stunk.
His witch rating, though, I think is definitely has to be way down, right, after Sunday.
It was a rough day.
Not even just for the trick play, but, I mean, they called back-to-back screens to start the game. Just like it was a lot of – felt like they came out – we had a caller yesterday who said, you know, they should have just kept doing what they were doing against Jacksonville. I felt like they were trying to do what they were doing against Jacksonville, didn't you? Like, a lot of those out routes in the flat to Shakir, screens, short stuff. Like, I don't know. I felt like they were trying to do a lot of what they had done against a very different defense. And I started wondering as that game went on, like, do they have another go-to? Or is this just it? If you figure out Brady's screens and Brady's, you know, orbit motion, and you figure out, you know, the short stuff over the middle of the field, do you stop the Bills? Do they have a counterpunch? Right? And I didn't see much of one in that game other than Allen being able to play hero ball, you know, once in a while, which is what he did in the Shakir play.
There are a couple highlights. We talked about it yesterday with Chris Brown about free rushers, how often the I think it was with Chris, how often the Ravens got free rushers, and maybe it was Sal.
Yeah.
And saw a couple highlights of some of these blitzes that Baltimore dialed up. And you know what they did? Was they manned up the outside receivers, and they sent so many at Allen on a couple times, where what you ultimately do, Joe, is you not only pressure the quarterback, you eliminate his ability to run forward. Sure, he can extend plays, which he did, right? The completion to Shakir on the sideline, he completes that. That's a big play. He burned them a little bit on that. But if you rush enough guys and shoot enough gaps, Allen can only run backwards and sideways, and he had a couple plays where he was running backwards, like 15, 20 yards backwards. And that eliminates one of the best things Allen does, which is take off and run.
Right.
Think about his runs in this game. What were they? They were third and manageable quarterback draws up the middle when there was not a major blitz. Like, all right, snap, look around. Oh, I get 5 yards, go get it. He didn't really run that much in this game. And I think the way they took it away was by running after him first. If we get at him full speed, he won't get to come at us full speed. And I wonder how much of the game plan for Baltimore was that. It's not about, like, think about how the Bills wanted to contain Lamar. Oh, keep him there. Keep him in the pocket. And they didn't really get much pressure on him. Whereas Baltimore was run full speed at Josh Allen's face.
Right. And make him retreat.
Yep.
And then he's throwing off his back. But aren't you also, too, by doing that, forcing Allen to be on the exact same page with his new receivers? And maybe that's why Mac Hollins went 1 of 6 on targets, because, okay, here they come, and the ball's got to come out immediately, which means I've got to be in sync. Like, the receiver needs to know where this ball is going. He needs to be in the right spot. I need to be able to trust him to catch the football. Like, the ball's got to come out immediately. And at least with one of their receivers, that was really not happening much on Sunday. So it's another one of those things, though, where, like, is that a feeling out process of who Allen trusts? Because that's kind of what I would chalk that up to, where the next time they would play a defense like that, they would have a plan, and they would have a guy that is going to be right there, easy button throw for Allen. Hey, if they're blitzing, this guy's going to be open underneath for you. And it just felt like that wasn't always there for him when they were coming after him, and he was retreating 20 yards backwards.
Yeah. 803-0550 is our phone number. A little bit more on the Ravens game. The question I would ask is, what's the part of the game you're convinced is a nothing burger? I don't have to worry about that. That happened. I don't have to worry about a guy going off for 200 yards on the ground against his team again, whatever it might be. What's the part you think is a nothing burger we don't have to worry about? And what's the part of the game you think might be a sign of a problem? So give us a call on that. You can drop a response, and I put this on Twitter as well. The part you might think is a problem, the part you think is nothing.
Yeah, what's real and what's fake?
Yeah.
A little bit.
So we've got a bunch of responses here. Downfield passing. Lack of downfield passing.
As a real problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus another one, linebackers, nothing burger. Because those aren't just, there's not supposed to be your linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Those are, to me, I think, fair responses here. We can get to McDermott. We can get to the receivers. It's
someone might have something to say about the kicker, maybe.
Sure. I think the kicker is not a nothing burger. The kicker fits in line with what has happened for the last five games.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really starting to think about that as an idea at the trade deadline, by the way. I was watching Nick Folk, who is still in the league, by the way, for Tennessee, kick him through the upright yesterday. And that's one way to... That's the one way to really clear out Bass's salary for this year, is if you trade for a kicker at the deadline and you tell the other team, like, hey, can you take Bass for us? Or we'll give you one round higher if you take Bass for us. Then you basically completely wash out the money for whoever you would get.
I've got to start researching what level of pick I'm willing to spend on a kicker. You better be good.
What would you spend for an obvious upgrade? You know you're going to the playoffs. You might need a kick at some point at a critical time. What would you spend for like an obvious upgrade? That might be a good question.
I have no idea.
When's the deadline? The end of this month, I think. You wouldn't trade a fifth? You wouldn't trade a sixth?
Sure. I mean, is Davante Adams going to go for a fourth?
And they're going to trade a sixth
and
for
Nick
Folk.
I'm going to get a kicker.
Right, that might not be a great look, but
803-0550, our phone number. You can give us a call, 1-888-550-2550. It is Tuesday. Sal's off today. We'll chat with Howard for Howard Picks the Bills. He's back on his regularly scheduled day here on Tuesday. Lindy Ruff tomorrow as the Sabre season opens on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So Lindy joins us from Europe, from the Czech Republic, for Czechia and Prague. So, you know, the week rolls on, and we'll talk about what you think is real and what isn't from the Baltimore game. I've already got people tweeting me about wide receiver trade scenarios, so we can weigh in on the idea of Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins. I'm a little lukewarm on the idea. Might surprise you. So we'll dig into that. Mutombo dies.
Mm-hmm.
That's my birthday bro right there.
Mutombo?
Yeah, Dikembe Mutombo, one of my birthday bros.
Yeah.
He dies at 58. Pete Rose dies at 83. Which, how far apart did those news items come down? Like 20 minutes? As Mutombo died?
No, I think it was more than that.
Okay. Well, for me, it was about 20 minutes apart, learning from one to the next.
Because I found about Mutombo in the afternoon, maybe like noon or 1 o'clock, and then I saw the Pete Rose news like right before Monday Night Football started.
Oh, that's pretty late then, I think,
yeah.
For you. I think it came
around. Rose was late earlier in that?
I think so. Who knows? We're all on our own
feet. Yeah.
All right, 803-0550 on what's real and what's not that big a deal on WGR.